Peace of Christ be with you, Hope College. Hey, let's give Gospel Choir another bit of love, shall we? Roberto, CJ, thank you very much. Hey, we've got some guests visiting our campus today that are checking us out. We want to welcome you to Hope College. Yes. Yes. And who loves the snow today? Isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's been a drought here, but it's glorious, majestic. Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, I want to introduce you to an emerging friend here at Hope College. Ruth Bailey Barton is the founder of the Transforming Center, and her life's mission and her vocation is helping to strengthen the soul and spirit of leaders young and old. Mm-hmm. Her life is about helping us pay attention more deeply to God. She's on campus this weekend doing a retreat for the ministry minor, and it is our great privilege to have Ruth speaking to us in chapel. She speaks all over the country and internationally. And would you please give, oh, and most importantly, she is the mother of our own Haley. Oh, yes, our own Haley, yes. Who's getting married in this chapel in June. All right, anyway, little sidebar, doesn't have anything to do with now. Would you please Ruth a warm round of applause?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I went to a Christian college which shall remain nameless in this moment, where chapel was mandatory. And so, in other words, that means you had to force the students to come. This is the best thing about Hope College, isn't it? Because you want to come. You want to be here worshiping God. And it is a thrill to be here today and to feel the energy. And thank you, choir, for that amazing entree into worship. Well, I'm privileged to be at Hope College today. As Trigg mentioned, our family has received many gifts from Hope College. Our oldest daughter, Charity, is here this morning, graduated about 5 years ago, and then we have Haley coming on through and graduating in the spring. And so we are very grateful. I'll be on this stage for a very different purpose in May, and I'm thrilled to be here with you now. We have received many good gifts, and we also pray for Hope College during this time of transition. I also feel very privileged to be with you this morning because this is the first week of Lent. And I know that you all had a marvelous introduction to Lent on Wednesday through your Ash Wednesday service. And you know, Lent is an extraordinary season, I think. Sometimes people reduce Lent to this question of what are you giving up for Lent? Has anybody heard that question? Anybody asked that question? Anybody have a good answer to that question? Well, it's an okay question. What are you giving up for Lent is an okay question, but only as far as it goes. It doesn't take you all the way. It doesn't take you all the way into the purpose of Lent. Lent is not about being miserable. Amen? That is not what Lent is about. Lent is about returning to God with all our hearts, from the prophet Joel. And so today I want to share with you a prayer practice, because I know that your chapel series are focusing on prayer for the last little while, and I want to share with you today a very simple prayer practice that I think is so appropriate for Lent. It's so appropriate towards this purpose of returning to God with all our hearts, creating space for God, pulling back from the many distractions of our lives so that we can find again that which is our greatest good, the presence of God in our lives. I first learned about this prayer practice a number of years ago. I was a younger woman then, about 20 years ago, and I was busy as a young mother. I was busy as a person in ministry. My little star was rising, and yet I began to realize that even though I had been a Christian all my life, in fact, I'm a pastor's kid, and even though I have been in ministry all my life and had been in ministry for quite some time at that point, I realized that there were things in my life that weren't changing, that I wasn't changing, and that I was stuck in negative patterns and sinful behaviors. And I realized that for all of my study and for all of my walking the Christian faith and walking the Christian path so seriously, I still was not changing, and I still was not experiencing the intimacy with God that I had experienced early in my Christian walk. And so at that point, I was on staff at a church that I loved. I was very busy doing things for God, and found that somewhat fulfilling, but I was very alarmed to discover that I wasn't transforming in the deepest inside places of my being, and I was alarmed to realize that I was teaching other people about things that I myself was not experiencing. And that, my friends, is a very alarming situation to be in, to be leading others in the Christian path and to realize that you're not experiencing God for yourself. And so at that point, having tried all sorts of Bible study methods, listening to good preaching, studying and learning about God, doing lots of things for God, at that point, I sought out a spiritual director, someone who was more well-versed in the ways of the soul than I was. And I went to her to just seek help with what I was struggling with. And she let me talk for a while, for a few weeks or so. And then at one point, she looked at me and she said, "Ruth, you are like a jar of river water all shaken up. And what you need is to sit still long enough so that the sediment can settle and the water can become clear." What do you think of that? You are a jar of river water all shaken up, and what you need is to sit still long enough so the sediment can settle and the water can become clear. How many of you today feel like a jar of river water all shaken up? And let's be honest with each other. How many of you know that deep within you there is just distraction and chaos and unanswered questions and performance-oriented drivenness, all those kinds of things that we as human beings deal with? And when she spoke to me those words, it was a very powerful moment in my spiritual life, probably the most significant moment outside of the moment when I came to faith. Because what I realized was that she was right. For all that I was doing out there in the world for God, for how long I had been a Christian, for how long I'd been studying my Bible, I still was that. I was that jar of river water all shaken up. And the sediment that swirled in my soul was the questions for which I had no answers, the emotions that I had not dealt with, the performance-oriented drivenness that had me on an achievement treadmill. And I knew she was right. I couldn't squirm out of the reality of what she was saying. And one of my favorite authors, Richard Rohr, says that a good journey begins with knowing where you are and being willing to go someplace else. Amen? Knowing where you are and being willing to go someplace else. It's like the big red "you are here" dot in the mall, right? If you want to get to Nordstrom, you have to know that you're near Sears, right? You have to know where you are in order for that map to work for you. And so Richard Rohr says that a good journey, a good spiritual journey, or any kind of journey begins with knowing where you are and being willing to go someplace else. And that was my moment. That was the big red "you are here" moment for me. I am the jar of river water all shaken up. And then the other reason why that moment was so significant for me was because it gave me a vision. It gave me an image of how and who I wanted to be. I realized that deep in my soul, I longed to be the jar of river water that had sat still for so long that the sediment had settled and the water had become clear. Do you long for that too? Do you want to be that jar of river water that has sat still long enough so that the sediment of your soul, so that all that swirls in your soul has somehow settled so that you can see and know and hear God clearly? Well, I realized that I wanted that more than anything. And so in the context of that self-awareness, my spiritual director invited me into the prayer practice that I will now identify with you as prayer beyond words, or silent prayer, or centering prayer, or the prayer of the heart, or the prayer of quiet trust. There are all sorts of ways of talking about this particular kind of prayer, and it's very, very challenging. It sounds very simple, doesn't it, to sit with God and to be silent in God's presence. To be silent and still and receptive, no agenda, no Bible study that I'm trying to work through, no teaching tapes that I'm trying to listen to, no self-help books that I'm trying to read, just to sit and be with God, be still and know that I am God. And it was such a challenging discipline for me as someone who had been so driven and who was so riled up on the inside, and she gave me a very simple goal. The goal was 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes to be still in God's presence every day. And you know what? I struggled. I couldn't do it. I'd get to the 5-minute mark, and all of a sudden, there were so many things that just seemed to press in. There was an article I needed to get up and write. You know, I'm a writer. There was the laundry that needed to be moved from the washer to the dryer. There was the grass that was growing so fast outside the window that something had to be done about it now, right? There was a phone call to a friend that I hadn't thought of in 5 years. All sorts of distractions came in to rob me of those moments of being still in God's presence. And I realized that this very simple instruction from the Psalms, be still and know that I am God, was beyond me to do. But I practiced anyway, and I struggled, and I practiced, and I would come back to my spiritual director, and I would say, "This is so hard, I'm so distracted, I can't do it." And she would say, "This is what it's like. Now you know how distracted you are. Now you know how chaotic it is on the inside. And so just keep with it, stay with it." And so I did, 10 minutes a day. It took me about a year to experience anything good in that 10 minutes. But what I began to notice was that my life began to change. I began to have a quiet, more calm center within me. I began to have a sense of God's presence with me. I began to have more of a sense of what the different moments of my life really needed and what they really called for. I began to have discernment. I began to know how God was leading me in the moments of my life. And most of all, I began to experience the love of God as an experience and not as a fact or as a theory. Many of us know that God loves us. All of us here know that God loves us, right? We do. Cognitively, we know that. But many of us don't know it to the depths of our being. Many of us don't know it in the cells of our bodies. Many of us don't know it deep in our hearts. We're not sure. And what happened for me in the silence that was most profound was that I began to know the love of God experientially, not just cognitively as a theological fact, but as an experience of my life that could become the foundation and the very bedrock of my being. And I knew it experientially in silence. Be still and know that I am God. And I realized that the psalmist, in many different places in the Psalms, talks about this prayer beyond words, this prayer of stillness and silence. Psalm 4, when you are disturbed, be silent on your bed. Ponder it on your bed. Be quiet with it. Be in God's presence with it. Psalm 131 talks about the child, the weaned child. My heart is not lifted up, but I am like a weaned child with its mother, that calm on the inside. And so I have a Lenten challenge for you. I do. I have a Lenten challenge for you. I am challenging you to think about whether God might be calling you to spend 10 minutes a day during Lent in silence in God's presence. Without anything to do, without any technologies, without any noise, without any activity, without any other people around you, I am challenging you to sit silently, to be still and know that I am God, to be silent in the presence of God for 10 minutes a day throughout Lent. What do you think? Do you think you could do that? Can you imagine yourself doing that? Can you imagine yourself being disconnected just for 10 minutes a day? There's a way in which this kind of prayer is a kind of fast, isn't it? Because we're fasting from noise, we're fasting from our addiction to technology, we're fasting from our addiction to our achievements and to our busyness and our addiction to other people and their company. We're called to fast to create space for God, and what we find in those moments is that rather than the silence being empty, the silence is full of the presence of God. And my belief is that many of us in this room need more than anything to experience the real presence of God, unmediated by all the noise and the distraction that many of us tend to be addicted to. And so I challenge you to that. If you want to do it with other people, you could. You could choose to be together with some other people and to sit quietly for 10 minutes. Breathe deeply. Pray the truest prayer you know how to pray. Sit with your hands open on your lap as a way of saying to God, I'm letting go of everything I usually cling to so that I can be open to what you want to give. Isn't that a beautiful idea? And so I am praying that some of you will take the Lenten challenge, that you'll take the Lenten challenge of 10 minutes a day being silent and responsive and receptive in God's presence. And as we close today, I would like to pray a sweet little prayer that I think can kind of help us to know what we're doing as we enter into Lent and as we enter into this very important discipline if we feel called to it. So let's pray this prayer together in the quietness of our hearts, and to let this be one of the prayers we pray in this Lenten season, especially as we enter into moments of silence, as we enter into moments of being still so that we can know God experientially. O God, gather me now to be with you as you are with me. Soothe my tiredness, quiet my fretfulness, curb my aimlessness, relieve my compulsiveness. Let me be easy for a moment. O Lord, release me from the fears and guilts which grip me so tightly, from the expectations and opinions which I so tightly grip, that I may be open, maybe right now, open your hand, that I may be open to receiving what you give, to risking something genuinely new, to learning something refreshingly different through this Lenten season. O Lord, gather me now to be with you as you are with me. Amen.